Next case for argument, 22-1994, City of Fresno v. the United States. Mr. Marzullo, please proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning. I'm Roger Marzullo, appearing on behalf of plaintiffs' appellants. In May of 2014, there were 279,000 acre-feet of San Joaquin River water stored in Klamath Reservoir. And yet, the Bureau of Reclamation gave the Friant contractors a zero allocation, no water at all that summer for the City of Fresno or for the 17 water districts that depend upon this water supply. The trial court erred in finding that this was not a breach of contract and in finding that the irrigators, the people who apply this water to their farms and fields to produce crops, did not suffer a taking under the Fifth Amendment.
Counsel, it's my understanding that under the contract that the Friant contract, they received water only when it was left over, i.e. not when the other requirements that the government had to deliver water were already met. Is that fair?
No, Your Honor. That is a fair characterization of the erroneous interpretation given the contract by the trial court. In point of fact, the trial court badly misconstrued the terms of both the Friant and the exchange contract. The interpretation that the court has just stated relies on paragraph 3N of the Friant contract, which indeed states that the terms of the Friant contract are subject to the terms of the exchange contract, not subordinate to, by the way. But the second sentence of that paragraph, which the trial court gave no effect to, says that reclamation shall not deliver to the exchange contractors the waters of the San Joaquin River unless and until required to do so by the terms of the exchange contract. Now, the problem is that the trial judge leapt to the conclusion, which he characterized, Your Honor, as saying that at all times the exchange contractors were entitled to a superior right to the water.
Well, under A-368, doesn't it say the Friant contract is subject to the government's other obligations?
Indeed, it does, Your Honor. And that's really duplicative, then, of the paragraph 3N provision, which says that reclamation shall not deliver the water unless it is required to do so by the exchange contract. So you have to look at the exchange contract to determine under what circumstances is reclamation required to deliver the waters of the San Joaquin River to the exchange contractors. Well, that's found in Article 4 of the exchange contract, which the trial court fundamentally ignored. Article 4A states that so long as reclamation is delivering substitute water in accordance with the contract, that it is the United States that has the right to divert, store, and use the reserved waters of the San Joaquin River for the benefit of others than the exchange contractors.
So just to be clear, I have to agree with your argument that under the exchange contract, the government was not required to deliver the waters to the exchange contractors in order for you to prevail.
Yes, that is correct, Your Honor.
Okay, just want to make sure.
So under 4A, so long as reclamation is delivering substitute water.
Okay. So let me just double check. If I interpret the San Joaquin water as substitute water, then it was required to deliver that to the exchange contractors. Is that correct?
Not exactly, Your Honor. If I may.
Please. Yes.
Because 4A says so long as reclamation is delivering substitute water, then reclamation has the right to use the San Joaquin water. So it doesn't make much sense to say, well, the San Joaquin water is substitute water
that
Reclamation can't
use. I didn't get it. It's a little confusing for me. Try one more time.
Yes. Well, I would refer the court to the Wilson v. United States, which kind of explains the whole history of this contract. It's this very contract.
Well, you're saying the San Joaquin water is not substitute water, right? That's what you're saying?
Yes.
But why? Why is
because the nature of this transaction, which it bears the title, Contract for the Exchange of Waters. The exchange was that the exchange contractors exchanged the use of their rights in the San Joaquin in return for a substitute water supply from the Sacramento. And 4A says, well, so long as Reclamation is delivering that substitute water from the Sacramento, then Reclamation has the right to use the San Joaquin River rights for the Friant project. That's what this whole transaction was about. Now, 4B...
Doesn't 4B convert San Joaquin River water to substitute water under certain circumstances?
It doesn't say that, Your Honor.
Clearly it contemplates the delivery to the exchange contractors of San Joaquin River water.
It does indeed, under certain circumstances...
That it's required.
Under certain circumstances... And in certain quantities. It says, whenever the United States is unable for any reason or any cause.
My point, Mr. Marzullo, I think you're arguing that San Joaquin River water can be substitute water under 4B, but not at any other time.
Actually, let's get to this. I think it is a red herring.
You see what's troubling me?
Yes, I certainly do, Your Honor.
Clearly, the parties contemplated that if there was an interruption, and I think Webster says interruptions mean stop, then San Joaquin water is going to be delivered to the exchange contractor.
Yes, and under any circumstances, and the trial court pointed this out, there is a definition of the term substitute water.
From any source.
Well,
regardless of source.
Yes, but we missed the verb. Any water delivered regardless of source. So what...
Why does that matter?
Well, what Article 3 is saying is, yes, the exchange contractors are entitled to certain quantities of substitute water, and any water that's delivered to them, whether it came from the Sacramento or whether it came from the San Joaquin, once it arrives, it is substitute water. But that doesn't help us determine what water the exchange contractors were entitled to from the San Joaquin.
Well, why aren't they entitled to any water that is necessary to meet their contract? And regardless of source, and then it has to be delivered to them.
Yeah, because Article 4A says that the United States has the right to use the waters of the San Joaquin, so long as it is delivering substitute water. And then Article 4B says, if the United States is not delivering substitute water, is unable to do so, then the exchange contractors are entitled to certain quantities of water. Not all the water, certain quantities.
I just don't understand how that's responsive to the Chief Judge's question. Could you try that again? Because I'm somehow losing the. It just seems logical if substitute waters can be from any source, then that must include the San Joaquin River, because that is a source, correct?
Yes, Your Honor. Once it is delivered...
But
it may
you can
come
only
from
deliver,
the San Joaquin River or from the Sacramento River.
Something you source.
It counts toward the total amount of water the exchange contractors get. In short, if they get under 4B water from the San Joaquin in a particular year, as they did in this year, that counts towards their total. That doesn't tell you under what circumstances is Reclamation required to deliver that water to them. The circumstances are shown in Article 4B, which says that after 7 days, the quantities that the exchange contractors are entitled to receive are those that they reserved when they sold the rest of their water rights to
the
United States. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
It goes back to the original form, if it were.
The purchase contract.
Trying to replicate what it was that had been given up at the time the exchange contracts were put in place.
That is exactly right, Your Honor. So where the...
But you say that this should be under 4B and not 4A, but the government's argument, if I remember it correctly, is that they don't even get to 4B because they were able under 4A through a combination of San Joaquin River Water and non-San Joaquin River Water to deliver it, and so there wasn't an interruption of delivery because they were able to fulfill it through a combination of water sources. I think, can you tell me, first, am I correctly articulating what you understand the government position to be?
Yes.
What I understand it to be.
That is my understanding of the United States
so tell
position.
Tell me why that's not correct.
Well, because it fails to give effect to Article 4B. That is, it becomes circular. Because Article 4A says, so long as reclamation is delivering substitute water, then reclamation, not the exchange contractors, are entitled to the waters of the San Joaquin. So if the government is correct, there is no point in time at which the United States didn't have the right to divert and store the waters of the San Joaquin, and no point at which the exchange contractors did have the right to that water. That is, the government can't dip into a water source that it is not entitled to use and then say, we're now compliant, we're now changing that into water that we're required to deliver. The required to deliver is the key phrase here. And I think that's where we run into problems with the government's interpretation. In addition, the trial court failed to recognize that even under the government's interpretation, there's a breach of contract here. In May of 2014, as I said, there were 279,000 acre-feet of water that had been already stored and was ready for delivery to the Fryant contractors. Under the government's interpretation, Article 8 applied, right, of the exchange contract, and that entitled the exchange contractors to only 99,000 of the 279,000 acre feet. What the United States said to the Fryant contractors is, well, we're not going to give you any allocation anyway because we're going to store that in case we need it later for the exchange contractors.
Now, Mr. Mizzle, you're in your rebuttal time. Do you want to stay for the remainder? Or do you have another point you need to make?
I'd like to just finish this point, Your Honor,
no problem.
Which is, 4B states that explicitly reclamation is not required to store water for later delivery to the exchange contractors. So reclamation was not required to store the water. It voluntarily chose to do so, which violates Article 3N because it was a lack of requirement.
Okay, actually, I'm going to give you an extra minute. I'm not counting it against you, but I'd like you to... I always enjoy listening to you on takings. So to take a minute and pivot to the takings case.
All right, Your Honor. Under 43 U.S.C. 372, the Reclamation Act, water is to be distributed in accordance with state law. Then there is a proviso, provided that the right to the use of water shall be appurtenant to the land irrigated. This court in Klamath Irrigation District versus United States held that that very right in connection with the Klamath Reclamation Project in Oregon was a property right. And contrary to the government's argument here, Klamath did not remand for determination whether there was a property right. This court held there was. Klamath remanded only for determination of whether there was a contract arrangement under which that property right had been modified. So I guess that's as far as we need to go. The binding authority at this point is Klamath Irrigation District.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the extra minute.
Yeah, well, I'll restore your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Carhart, please
proceed. Please proceed.
May it please the court. The trial court correctly granted summary judgment on plaintiff's contract claim and dismissed their takings claim. The trial court's judgment should be affirmed. I'll begin with the contract claim. And I'll begin in particular with Article 4A, which Mr. Marzullo focused on. So I think the important point on 4A is that is the essence of the bargain between the United States and the exchange contractors. And the bargain was that the United States, to get access to San Joaquin River water, needed to deliver substitute water in conformity with the contract. The only way the United States could do that under the circumstances of this terrible drought in 2014 was to deliver San Joaquin River water to the exchange contractors, in addition to Delta Source water, thereby complying with the requirement under Article 8 of the exchange contract, which sets forth specific quantities.
So you're saying this is 4A sets forth the primacy. Exchange contractors first, anybody else second.
So first, at least as compared to these certainly compared to these plaintiffs, the exchange contractors get their substitute water rights satisfied before these plaintiffs.
That's what I mean. So that's what establishes the primacy, which is reflected in the prime contracts, when the client contracts say these are subject to the rights that the exchange contractors have.
Exactly right, Judge Clevenger, yes. So
that's the primacy point. The other two points that Mr. Marzullo is leaning on are what constitutes substitute water.
Right.
Because if he wins on that, he's got it. And the other is whether 4B applies. If it applies, he wins on that.
That's right. If either of those applies, then it goes back to the trial court. That's right. Substitute water, the contract language, Article 3 of the exchange contract, is unambiguous. Any source, as the court's already noted in its questionings, that the analysis can stop there. We also make a more general argument.
Does it help in your argument that at the time the exchange contracts were being made, the contemplation of Millerton then the lake had already been built, was going to be built, and it was going to dam up San Joaquin River water? Right?
Yes.
They knew about that.
Yes. I mean, there were several.
And then they wrote a contract in which they contemplated the very real possibility that at some stage in the game, the exchange contractors might be getting holy water from the San Joaquin River, not otherwise.
So it was, yes.
So that basically, substitute water has to include all the water from the dam and from the river.
Yes, so the exchange contractors negotiated that protection, a broad definition of substitute water. Now, to be clear, there was a reason for the United States to negotiate that as well. It gave the United States discretion. The United States can pick the source of the water. So it benefits both sides. But yes, I think our argument is consistent with the history here on Article 3.
Does the Sacramento River dump into the San Joaquin River at some point?
No, the Sacramento River goes from Shasta Dam up in the north into the Delta, and then the Delta comes down into the Delta Mendota Canal. Separately, you have the San Joaquin River.
The contemplation was the exchange contractors didn't get their water off that canal.
That was the basic premise, yes. But the definition is broad enough to encompass situations like 2014 where there wasn't enough water in the canal to meet the exchange contractors' needs. So that's Article 3. Article 4B, as Chief Judge Moore suggested, the heart of our argument is that the United States did deliver substitute water from the Delta throughout 2014. That's an undisputed fact to the exchange contractors. So in that case, Article 4B isn't triggered. What's triggered is a separate provision of the contract, Article 19, which says if the United States can't, essentially if either party can't meet its obligations under the contract completely, their obligations are suspended, except that they still have to do their due diligence to comply with those obligations. So that's what happened here. Ultimately, the United States was not able to meet the full Article 8 quantities, the critical year Article 8 quantities for the exchange contractors. But to do its due diligence to meet those requirements, it needed to deliver both San Joaquin River water and Delta sourced water. More generally, and I think one of Judge Clevenger's questions suggested this earlier, 4B can be thought of as a deal temporarily suspended in case of a complete inability to deliver water down the delta. And the exchange contractors are going back to their pre-1939 reserved water rights in that case temporarily. But that's not what happened here. The deal wasn't suspended. The United States was doing its due diligence to meet its requirements under Article
8. Yeah, I have what might really be a dumb contract question about 4B, but I nonetheless have it. It says, so 4B kicks in is when the U.S. is temporarily unable, for any reason, to use substitute water from the Delta or other sources. But the other sources can't be the San Joaquin River, right? Because the rest of this is directed to when you will or how you will distribute the San Joaquin River.
Right.
Right?
So
it has to be that the U.S. is unable to deliver water from either the Delta or sources other than San Joaquin. Now, I understand from the government that throughout 2014, you were able to, through a combination of non-San Joaquin sources and San Joaquin sources, deliver water. But my question is, was there a temporary interruption, putting aside what you were able to deliver that came from the San Joaquin? Was there an interruption? Was there any point in 2014 when you weren't able to be delivering water from the Delta or some source, not the San Joaquin? What would trigger the San Joaquin kick-in, right?
Right.
Am I understanding that provision right?
Right. So, if there was an interruption, meaning a complete cessation of delivery from the Delta, then that would trigger 4B. And there'd be 7 days of the Article 8 quantities continuing to control, and then...
And so after, you're telling me there was
That did not...
There was at no point in 2014 was there a 7 day period where there wasn't water being delivered from the Delta.
In the period during which reclamation was delivering water, that's right. So
what does that mean?
So to the extent relevant to the plaintiff's claims, there might have been times when reclamation was delivering water to nobody, but I don't think the plaintiffs are challenging
that.
Why
did they make the decision to shut off the private contractors from getting any water?
Early in 2014.
That was up front.
Yes.
So they were making a prediction, right, that
right.
there would be at least a trickle of water down the canal or from another source.
So that's right. And I just want to be precise. So we cite at page 36 of our brief to address your question, Chief Judge Moore, Appendix 1892 and Appendix 2114. 2114 is plaintiff's own expert deposition testimony to support the point that I just made.
Okay, do you want to spend a minute on the takings case?
Sure, Your Honor. So our first point is that there's no right under California law, water right under California law.
And, well, why do you think there's no standing, right? Isn't part of the standing?
Well, I mean, our argument is focused on the lack of a water right.
Okay.
So a lack of a property interest.
Mr. Marzullo is basically saying, he says there's a federal right. He sort of admitting there's no state right.
So
he says that in Section 372, there's a proviso that creates a federal, a pertinent property right.
So
what's your answer to that?
First, that would be a really dramatic holding that
when he cites a case.
I'm not scared of dramatic holding.
That would be, well, maybe.
Have you met me?
That, well, if I keep going, it would be contrary to the Supreme Court's precedent in California versus the United States.
Well, that's
so what the Supreme Court said in California v. United States is that the Reclamation Act was not intending to create two systems of water rights, one federal and one state. It was intending for the Reclamation Act to be consistent with state water rights. And it would be a really problematic holding with major implications if suddenly there's these federal water rights that hadn't been previously recognized that come out over on top of state water rights.
And you're saying Mr. Marzullo is just wrong.
Yes. So we definitely disagree with the argument that the Reclamation Act creates some right that comes over on top of state water rights. I would note, too, you know, there's been a lot of focus on the word pertinency. That word has a different meaning under California law. I would refer the court to the appendix, the part of the appendix that deals with the State Water Board's decision around Appendix 2500, which talks about some of the issues related to a pertinency in California. Essentially, California has decided that it would be highly impractical to have 2 million NU users all with property interests in Central Valley Project law, and the State Water Board has come out against the argument that Mr. Marzullo is advancing here today. Finally, we also argue that you know, that if Mr. Marzullo is right, then the irrigators would have property interests that go beyond the contractual rights of the water districts.
So you can't exceed the rights created by the prior contract.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
Okay. The court doesn't have any further questions. We ask the court to affirm. Thank you.
Now, is it Mr. O'Hanlon?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. Daniel O'Hanlon appearing on behalf of the Defendant Intervenor Group of Appellees. I'll focus my brief remarks this morning on the takings issue that was just discussed. I agree with U.S. counsel on the correct interpretation of the exchange contract and the Friant contract. I agree with Judge Clevenger that we just heard an argument suggesting that plaintiffs were arguing here for a federal right, but that's not what they said in their brief. At pages 48 to 49, they say, quote, state law, not federal law, creates and defines water rights in a federal reclamation project, parens, unless inconsistent with a specific congressional directive. And, of course, that is consistent with California, the United States. Water rights are determined in accordance with state law. The irrigators here do not hold water rights under California law. And the key reason they do not is that the irrigators receive water from districts. And the California statutes governing the operation and creation of districts provide that the users of the water supplied by the district do not acquire a property right in the water supplied to them by the district. And those statutes are cited at pages 52 and 53 of our brief. What they do have is a right to water service from the district. And that's explained in the Abadi versus Imperial Irrigation District case, a California case, 52 Cal App 5th, 236, at pages 260 to 266.
What's entering water and water service?
It's a right to a equitable allocation of the supply available to the district. And in these cases,
number of gallons?
No, it is not a defined quantity. It depends on how much water the district is able to provide. Typically, it might be allocated based on, for example, the number of acres that a landowner owns within the district. But it would be a share of whatever supply is available to the district.
It's referring to water, amount of water.
Yes, it's some portion of the supply available to the district, but is not a... It's not defined in terms of acre feet.
It doesn't just mean physically getting it delivered to us by opening the locks and closing the locks once the water flows.
Well, it would
mean service. I didn't quite know what that meant.
Yes. Okay. The district in this case, their Friant contractors received water from the Central Valley Project. How much water they receive each year would vary, depending on conditions such as drought, and 2014 was a very severe drought, and whatever that supply is that's available to the district each year, and it would vary by year, the district would then allocate that to the individual water users. How much water each? In a particular year, yes.
Sure.
But
your basic argument is that that's not a property right, it's basically a gift. The water district, by contract, arranges with the United States government to get a certain amount of water. And how it gets parceled out is not a matter of right of the irrigator or the farmer to get it, because it's something that's being given away.
Well, they don't have a right to a specific amount each year. The amount varies. They do have a right to a equitable share of the entire supply available to the district as landowners in the district, but that's just a matter of California law and the governance of irrigation districts. It is not a water right, and the Abadi case says that directly and specifically. They own this ability to have the district.
California water rights are all by contract, correct?
These rights here are by contract, yes. The Friant rights are by contract.
Okay, counsel, we've exceeded your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your
Mr.
Honor.
Mr. Marzullo, you have rebuttal time. please give them all 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I will just touch on the 2 points, contract and taking. First, as to the contract, I simply find that the government's interpretation here is utterly inconsistent with the whole purpose of the exchange, which was there was Sacramento River water available that could be given to the so-called exchange contractors. In return, they gave over the use of their water rights in the San Joaquin to the United States for distribution to the 800,000 acres that constitutes the Friant project. There is no meaning to Article 4A and 4B. There's no reason to say whenever the United States is unable to deliver substitute water, then it can deliver San Joaquin River water if San Joaquin River water can always be delivered as part of the substitute water quantities. And it, of course, utterly disregards the quantities that are stated in Article 4B. Article 4B is read out of the contract improperly. As to the takings question, my brother, Mr. O'Hanlon, read exactly the right statement, which is that state law controls unless it is inconsistent with federal law. And that's what the provision at 43 U.S.C. 372 states, that water is distributed under state law, semicolon, provided that the right to the use of water is pertinent to the land irrigated. And
okay, what do I make out of, I find your point compelling about...
Thank you, Your Honor.
you're welcome. 4B, 3 is extremely broad. It says any source, right? So theoretically, a general provision like that, it would include San Joaquin. But then I'm persuaded that, like, statutory interpretation and contract interpretation, when you have a more specific clause, it sort of modifies the general. And I kind of agree that, like, when does 4B ever kick in if they can use the San Joaquin River as substitute water? I agree. I hear all of your arguments. But on page A1779 of the appendix, the government cites some 1950 memo that says the purpose of 4B is when there are mechanical failures. But so they are trying to give me a purpose for 4B, you know, that differs from your general interpretation, which I appreciate. So can you address that for me?
Sure. We objected to that memo in the first place, Your Honor, because it's unauthenticated. We don't know who the author was.
Yes, but is that an issue in front of me? I don't remember being...
We made that point, I think, in a footnote. But the fact is...
The Supreme Court says it's in a footnote, it's not a point, but go ahead.
The fact is, we don't know what that memo is. It is some memo written by someone before the First Amendment contract.
I understand. Okay, forget about the procedural irregularities of the memo itself. I'm not going to cut you off. I promise you'll get a chance. Mm-hmm. But does it nonetheless reconcile a purpose for 4B despite the issue that you raised about the substitute water / San Joaquin River not being substitute water? Does it create nonetheless a purpose for 4B that sort of says, okay, look, here is the purpose for 4B?
Well, I'm happy to read it that way. That's the way I read 4B. The government reads that memo as saying, well, it allows the government to use San Joaquin River water anytime. But we read it to mean that when, as in 2014, they run short of Sacramento River water, they are unable to deliver the substitute water, then they augment that with water from the San Joaquin. And that's what that memo states note, that water may be delivered from both, contrary to what the government argues. So 4B makes sense and in context of there's an A which says as long as they're getting substitute water, the exchange contractors have no use of San Joaquin River water. When they are not getting substitute water temporarily, then they get water from the San Joaquin in quantities they're stated, which are less, not Article 8 quantities, which is what Reclamation gave them. And 4C says that if permanently the United States is unable to deliver substitute water, then the exchange contractors revert to their original rights in San Joaquin, and the United States has no use of them. That makes all kinds of sense, and the government's interpretation does not.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I thank you all, three counsel. You all did an excellent job of providing a lot of information and very clearly, and I really appreciate your calm demeanor and presence at the podium. All of you. No, seriously, thank you.